It's times like these, when I'm hunkered in a doorway, waiting for a food market of dubious legality to be set up, that I find myself wishing I could eat like everyone else. I watch them scurry past, hurrying back to their warm little boxes, with their bright lights and distractions, a hot meal just the press of a button away. They'll stand there, in front of their printer, watching that artificial shit being spurted out of dozens of tiny nozzles with clinical precision to form a lasagna or something. And their stomachs will rumble, and their mouths will water, and oh, God. Just the thought of it is making me nauseous. As much as it disgusts me, I envy them. It's cold and damp. The November sun is setting in the middle of the afternoon, and I am beyond tired. The satisfaction of finishing my latest case couldn't last long in the face of my hunger, and I just want the truck to arrive, to buy what I need, to get home, and to shut the door on it all. I'll make a casserole, I promise myself, like a parent promising a grumbling toddler they'll get a toy if they behave. There's some beef left in the freezer, and if there's flour, I try not to get my hopes up, I'll make dumplings, stodgy and crisped on the top like the Brits make them. I haven't eaten since an early and inadequate breakfast, and just imagining what that casserole could smell like makes me close my eyes and smile to myself, just for a moment. I turn my collar up and tuck my hands back into my pockets. I'm hoping that here, in this little nook, no one will see me and feel they're entitled to come and talk to me, just because they've seen me on the news and docu-feeds. A woman walks in front of the doorway and looks straight at me, pausing mid-stride as if she's listening for something I'm about to say. I pull back into the shadows when she laughs, worried that she's recognized me, before realizing she's talking to an avatar projected by her chip. She's experiencing walking with a friend, chatting and laughing away. When I shift to the other side of the doorway, she blinks with a yelp, seeing me for the first time, and mutters an apology in Norwegian. I rest my head against the door behind me, waiting for my pulse to settle again.
"Would you like to play a game while you're waiting?" Tia asks.
"No." Now I'm the one looking like I'm talking to myself. Not that it matters. Most of the people I can see in this dingy London backstreet are talking to either projected avatars or, like me, just the voice of their artificial personal assistant, delivered directly into my brain via neural implant.
"We're next to a node for a new urban enhancement game with a free trial to..."
"No."
"Would you like me to stop making urban environment interactivity suggestions when you are off duty?"
"Yes." "Why are you making them anyway?"
"A recent change in the licensing agreement between..."
"Save it, Tia. I don't need to know." It's the first rule of any change to a licensing agreement. It's not for the benefit of the end user, no matter what they say.
"Where the fuck is the van?"
I check the time, and it's only 5 p.m. It feels like 2 in the morning. There's a steady pounding throb at the back of my head, and my hunger has moved from gnawing through occasional bouts of lightheadedness to making me want to kill someone. Then I hear the low whine of the van's engine and step out as it parks, pulling my small wheeled case behind me, ready to muscle my way to the front when it opens its back doors. Everyone in the loitering crowd has their public profile set to private, as do I. I recognize some of them from other markets. There's the man with the tiny dog that bites anyone who goes near, the little shit. There's the woman with the umbrella that's almost had my eye out several times, and she knows she's doing it deliberately, but has no fucks to give for a rival consumer. There's the old deer, who looks like she could be the sweetest grandma straight out of a department store Christmas immersive advert, but I know she's just as willing to grind her boot heels into someone else's toes if they push too much from the back. The driver gets out, moves to the side of the van and slides the door across just enough to pull out the folding table whilst his passenger jumps out and scans the street. They've just made a delivery to a supermarket down the road. One that's, like all of them, too expensive for most people to shop in. It has aisles filled with perfect vegetables, and a counter with the freshest meat. Actual, real meat cut from real animals. All sparkling and brightly lit.